Greetings all, and welcome to Quality News, August 2022, number two, where we will explore what I know for almost sure about improving both consumer and staff satisfaction together. And this is the sixth of 10 characteristics of effective quality and clinical governance systems, which is motivate staff to be their best by enabling them to develop role purpose, autonomy, and mastery. What I know for almost sure about this is that linking staff satisfaction with pursuing quality goals, that is, creating consumer satisfaction, is the way of the future. I call it building a satisfaction bridge. For years, we've been saying happy staff, happy consumers. But this often feels like another hope method. If we say it often enough, we hope it will happen. If you look at a range of models, there's some core key intrinsic characteristics of job satisfaction, such as meaning and purpose, autonomy, mastery, community, and appreciative acknowledgement. Staff who experience these, on top of extrinsic survival needs, such as safety, security, and fair pay, are more likely to go home at the end of the day feeling satisfied with their work, and more likely to come to work the next day feeling positive. We have a long way to go in human services before consumers experience consistently high quality care, and before staff experience consistently good job satisfaction. This seems even further away after the recent tough years. It seems obvious that we're not going to get to where we want to be by people trying harder. They're trying as hard as they can right now. What if we stop seeing consumer satisfaction as something staff have to sacrifice for and instead make it something they gain from? How I know it? For way too long, we've addressed staff and consumer satisfaction separately, even though we know they're interdependent. They are measured using different tools. Executive responsibility for each may lie within different divisions. Sometimes they appear to be in conflict. One has to be gained at the expense of the other. Working with boards, I see separate reports with no analysis or insights drawn between them. This approach isn't going to get us much past our hope method. But what if we built a satisfaction bridge between the two? Some human services are already moving into this space by mapping and aligning satisfaction moments for both staff and consumers. Executive quality and people and culture roles and committees are being aligned and in some cases combined. There appears to be a growing understanding that staff and consumer satisfaction together is a gateway for taking the pursuit of consistently high quality care to the next level. Human services staff are stretched beyond previous limits, and we know only too well the inevitable impact of this on consumers. A renewed focus on what's really important to staff and to consumers together can't hurt. It might even help. So what can you do? What does it mean to build a satisfaction bridge? There are many ways to approach it. I'm focused on frontline staff and their managers, the people who create the care experience with consumers. It's early days in my thinking re this, but here's a suggestion. First, get crystal clear about what constitutes a positive experience for consumers. For example, care that is individual, safe, effective, and connected for every person. Second, select a model for environmental characteristics that build job satisfaction for staff that will work for your organisation. As noted above, I like meaning, mastery, appreciative acknowledgement, autonomy, and community. Third, develop a set of simple processes for pursuing those positive consumer experiences in everyday work that also triggers the components of job satisfaction in staff. For example, meaning might be about making the quality goals meaningful for staff in their daily work, so that you engage with staff in creating some simple rules for achieving those goals. Mastery. You could develop and showcase staff skills as they pursue the goals. Link what staff are good at to applying simple everyday actions for goal achievement, and evolve those skills with the specific purpose of better equipping staff to pursue the goals. Appreciative acknowledgement. See and deliberately acknowledge goal pursuit by staff. Develop processes that identify and highlight individual and team contribution to goal processes and outcomes. Autonomy. Integrate individual and team judgment into goal achievement. Collect and discuss case studies showing proactive responses to consumers' needs. And community. Foster that camaraderie and a sense of shared purpose around achieving the quality goals. Create a common understanding of how teams work together to achieve the quality goals and support and celebrate their development. Of course, staff satisfaction also requires that we provide the right systems and resources to pursue the quality goals. And that's where clinical governance plays its part. Stay tuned for this in a future quality news edition. And what I know for almost sure about effective quality professionals. A successful quality professional understands the interdependency between staff and consumers that creates the great point of care experience. Too often, I see the pursuit of quality care turned into a competition between staff and consumers. This, unfortunately, is how I approached it in the early days of my career. I had little understanding of a consumer-staff satisfaction connection and thought my job was to force staff into doing tasks in the name of quality, often creating pushback and resentment. I now see that this is a rabbit hole that quality managers can easily fall into because the focus is on external drivers, such as compliance requirements. But great quality professionals get it and design their quality systems to cultivate a positive collaboration between staff and consumers that improves the experience for both. That's it for this edition of Quality News. Bye for now.